Welcome to the Uplifting Content Podcast. I'm your host, Ione Butler, and the founder of Uplifting Content. And every Tuesday, I'll share with you conversations with remarkable guests on a wide range of topics. My goal with this podcast is to introduce you to new people, ideas, and techniques that provide value and insight, which I hope you find uplifting. Today, let's talk about the power of intention. First of all, my apologies for this episode coming to you a little bit later than I'd hoped. I was away in Montreal, Canada for the weekend and got back today. It was a long weekend that I took to go and visit some friends that I have out there. I haven't been to Montreal and spent time in the city for years. In fact, the last time I was there, the winter was so bad, we didn't even leave. And I don't even remember much of what happened. I was about 14. But it was a lovely sort of 5-day break. I was staying in the heart of the city, hanging out with friends, sort of exploring the town. I've got pictures on my, I'll be posting pictures on my Instagram if you want to go and check them out. But it was a beautiful, lovely little getaway. So sorry that this episode was a bit late because of that. Anywho, my guest today is Lynn McTaggart.
One of the things people don't understand about intention is that it's a constant broadcast. We think, oh, the universe, you know, we do an intention with our morning meditation, and that's the only thing the universe hears. But the universe hears everything. You know, the new science of that I discovered with the field demonstrates that, you know, thoughts are trespassers. They beam out of us at every moment.
Today's guest is Lynn McTaggart. She is a journalist and the author of 7 books, including bestsellers The Power of 8, The Field, The Intention Experiment, and The Bond. She is highly regarded for her groundbreaking work with consciousness and the power of intention, and she's chiefly known for the quality of her writing and in-depth research. Lynn is also a dynamic speaker, the architect of the Intention Experiment, which we talk about in this episode, which is a global laboratory involving thousands of readers around the world testing the power of group thoughts. She's also co-founder and editor of the world's number one health magazine, What Doctors Don't Tell You. And in this episode, we spoke about Lynn and her journey from being an investigative reporter to the work she does today. And we talked about the power of thought, intention, and altruism, the process of intentions, and how important it is to intend for others rather than yourself. And what I loved most about this conversation is that one of my main reasons for starting Uplifting Content was to give back to others and be there to help support people that are going through a tough time. Maybe that's with dealing with depression, anxiety, not feeling that they're in a good place with their life and just lives, and just being able to help. And I found that when I give and do those things for others, it takes me out of myself. It stops me being so bothered about my own problems when I give back. And so this conversation and this episode was a really powerful reminder to get out of our own heads by helping others and intending for others. And the benefit of that is it has a positive effect on us in the process. So I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. So without further ado, here's this week's episode. Lynn, how are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you. It's really great to be on this call with you.
Yes, and thank you for just sort of giving me that nudge to do the lives again. We'll see how this goes. So for anyone that listens to the Uplifting Content Podcast, one of my first questions, one of my things I love to ask is, what's your story? Or sort of how did you get to where you are today? I love to kind of hear the little, what were those little things that helped you on the journey, those steps, things that maybe people wouldn't know about you before, just so that we have an idea of who you are and what you do.
I'm an unusual convert to spirituality because I started out life as a hard-nosed investigative reporter.
You're a truth seeker, though. You were a truth seeker even then.
I was a truth seeker, that's for sure. But I started out life doing things like busting baby selling rings, and I had hidden tape recorders on me and did all sorts of things, posed as an unwed mother and then as a prospective adoptive parent, and actually hooked up with 2 of the biggest baby selling rings in the world and basically broke them wide open.
Wow.
So ended up in a giant indictment for one of them and congressional hearings and a whole bunch of other things. So my life was on that course. And actually, I got ill in my early 30s and no one could figure out what was wrong with me. And I finally got the answer by researching what I thought I had and then researching the right person to heal me, who turned out to be a nutritional pioneer. And this was some years ago, before this was common. Now it is. Mm. And that really inspired my husband and I, after this incredible heady journey of healing, to set up a newsletter now on International Magazine called What Doctors Don't Tell You. So we wanted to report on what works and what doesn't work in conventional and alternative medicine. Mostly what doesn't work in conventional medicine and what does work in alternatives. So in the course of doing that, where we study the medical literature, this is back in the 1990s, I kept mm-hmm. coming across these really good studies of spiritual healing, showing that, you know, it works. Mm-hmm. And so I kept thinking to myself, wait a minute, you know, if we can have a thought and send it to someone else and make them better, well, that in itself undermines everything we think about how the world works. Mm. So I set off on a quest, basically, to find out why this could be. And I expected it to be a fairly simple one, that I would talk to some scientists and they would tell me, oh, they're human energy fields, and that would be the end of it. But that's not what happened at all. What I found was a number of scientists who were pioneers in consciousness research, who had all discovered a small piece of what compounded into a completely new science, a new view of the world. So I was amazed and fascinated. And the problem with these scientists is they don't like to extend beyond their own exploration, their own experimentation. Mm. They don't like to speculate. And also they speak in code, you know, they speak in math basically. Mm. So I realized two things, that one, the task of putting this all together was going to be left to me. And secondly, I was going to have to decode their stuff into normal English. So that journey became my book, The Field. And one of the pieces, and the book was a big, big international success. One of the pieces that was kind of leftover business for me was some of the experimental evidence showing that thoughts are an actual something with a capacity to change physical matter. So the journo in me kept thinking, well, you know, how far can we take this? We're talking about a tiny little subtle effect like moving a quantum particle? Are we talking about curing cancer or saving people from burning buildings with our thoughts? You know, how far can we take this? So a lot of time my enthusiasms and curiosity have created my career. And that basically moved me to creating a big thing called the Intention Experiment, where I work with scientists around the world. And I ask my readers from around the world periodically to come on my website or be part of a talk if I'm speaking somewhere. And we set up these very well-controlled experiments. We ask the whole audience to send intention, the same intention, same thought to that target. And we've run 33 of them to date, everything from, you know, trying to make seeds grow faster, to purifying water, to lowering violence in war-torn areas, to healing somebody of post-traumatic stress disorder. And of those 33, 29 have shown measurable positive, mostly significant effects.
Wow.
But the big change in my journey happened when I started scaling this down to small groups of eight. And I was witness to now thousands of healings in an instant, healings in 10 minutes. And that
why specifically eight? Is there a reason for the eight?
No, that was a complete accident, Ione. I was trying to figure out in 2008 how to do this in a workshop setting. And I hadn't run too many workshops. You know, I'm a journalist by training. So I was there kicking around thoughts with my husband. And I said, I don't know, maybe I'll just put people in groups of eight or so and have them send healing intention to somebody in the group with a health challenge. And my husband loved it. He just turned to me and said, yeah, he's a great headline writer. Yeah, the power of eight. I love it. Now, we did put people into groups of eight, but it was completely arbitrary. We never expected it to be anything more than a feel-good effect. Mm-hmm. But The next day when we invited the recipients back, they were in groups of eight. The whole group would send an intention to somebody with a health challenge. And then the next day they reported back. And we, you know, I thought it was going to be more or less like having a facial. And it was nothing like that. I mean, we had people with total intractable illnesses get better.
Wow.
In that 10 minutes of intention. We had a woman with, her knees were so bad that she was scheduled for double surgery, and she came in walking normally. We had another person with cataracts who claimed to be 80% better. You know, we had people with depression who said it had lifted. A woman with scoliosis who said her back was so straight and the pain was completely gone that she wrote me later to say they had to change the rear view mirror in her car. You know, and on and on and on. We've had thousands of stories like this. Mm. And so for me, the big change, the big journey, was having to accept something I couldn't explain. I couldn't find facts for. I found lots of facts to suggest what happens and possibly why, but there's still an X factor there that's extraordinary.
Mm, that's also incredible. So is that part of your investigation now to kind of merge the science with these results? Because we live in a world where people need to know these things work. And like just the evidence that you that said, so that's definitely worth trying it or being open to it or listening to it.
It took me 10 years to write about it. And in those 10 years, I did investigate what happened. And that the results of that is my book, The Power of Eight. And I discovered that I already knew there's an enormous science about the power of thoughts, the power of intention. I wrote about that in my book, The Intention Experiment. So I knew intention worked. So there's intention as a possible explanation. But there was something amplified in group effects, both in the big intention experiments and also the Power of Eight groups. Mm. And I looked at evidence about groups. And groups have a powerful effect on people. Psychologists call it an effervescent effect. So that was part of it. But the big piece, the piece I really didn't expect, was the power of altruism. When I started looking at the science of altruism, I mean, it's amazing. It's like a bulletproof vest. People who do things for other people are healthier, happier, and live longer in every regard. And particularly if they all are suffering from the same illness. I mean, there was one very persuasive study that I write about of a psychologist who wanted to see whether prayer can help people with depression. Mm-hmm. So he got hold of 400 volunteers, all of whom had depression, and he divided the group in two. And one group were going to get the prayer, and the other group were going to give the prayer. And afterwards, he measured their progress with all kinds of, you know, psychological parameters. And he found out that the people who had received the prayer did well. They were doing much better, but not anywhere near as well as the people who had done the praying. They were off the charts better. And you see that again and again and again, the power of altruism, of getting off of yourself. And that happens all the time in a group, because people are not just receiving a healing of some sort. They're giving it out too. So it works as a send and receive mechanism. And I think that is really the essence of its power. But as I say, there's also an X factor that I'm not quite sure of.
And that's okay. As humans, we always have to have the answers to everything. And just sometimes we don't know.
One thing we do know, though, is we've done brainwave studies on this. I mean, I've been wanting to study it from every angle. And I, first of all, wanted to see what would happen if we just looked at EEG measurements. And luckily, and that's brainwave measurements. And luckily, I had made contact with Life University, which is one of the largest chiropractic universities in the world. Mm-hmm. And they essentially put their neuroscience department at my disposal.
Amazing.
And so we got, out of the student volunteers, we got seven groups of Power of Eight groups. And we put an EEG cap on one member of each of the senders.
Okay.
And we expected it was going to look just like meditation, the brainwave signature. But that wasn't like it at all. With meditation, even when people are really experienced meditators, essentially they stay in themselves.
Yeah.
With our intent, with our power of eight groups, all of the parts of the brain involved in separation, the parietal lobes, which sit right back here, they're part of helping us to navigate through space. They tell us what's me and what's not me. Well, they were dialed way down. And so were the parts of the brain, the frontal, right frontal lobes, involved with worry, doubt, negativity. They were all turned way down too. And other parts of the brain also that make us feel separate, they were all dialed way down.
This is when meditating, right?
No, this was well beyond meditation. Meditation doesn't show this brainwave signature. This is very different. That was the big surprise. This was the brainwave signature of people in a state of ecstatic oneness with each other. Mm. It was more like the brainwave signatures that have been shown by University of Pennsylvania studies of Sufi masters involved in chanting, or Buddhist monks involved in ecstatic prayer. You know, these were people essentially having a mystical experience. Mm. And that's what they describe all the time. People in our Power of Eight groups describe feeling this incredible state of ecstatic oneness, of feeling a sense of oneness and no longer a sense of separation from the world.
I think that you've just hit the nail on the head. One of the reasons for starting Uplifting Content was I've dealt with depression on and off. And as soon as I turned that attention outwards onto other people, you stop being so in your own depression. And this is such a powerful, fantastic reminder of that. And I saw on your website, you had an article about the problem with personal development or self-help. And I do, I keep seeing, you know, I'm like, what's wrong with me? And then I sort of go and like, let me try and fix me. And it all becomes about me, 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 me. And then you just get in this whole cycle of me, there's something wrong. And as soon as you just sort of let go of the, there's something wrong with me, and just how can I serve? How can I be there for others? It immediately takes that away. And I'd actually forgotten that. And so this is a really powerful conversation to be having with you. And it's amazing. Are you finding that a lot of people, it's just really shifting a lot of people's sort of direction and how they're living their lives?
Oh yeah, there are thousands of Power of Eight groups now forming around the world. And I actually wanted to study what happens to people if they continue to meet week by week by week. So in 2015, I invited people to be part of a year-long masterclass. I would teach them via webinar for 6 weeks or teleseminar. And then I put them into groups and they would stay meeting with their groups every week virtually. These are people in the same time zone, but not in the same location. So they'd meet by Skype or Zoom or something like that. So I wanted to see whether everything in their lives would begin to heal. And very soon after we started putting them in groups, people did experience amazing transformations. Not only health issues, we had somebody with lifelong suicidal depression completely reverse that by asking his group to help him find the source of his illness. And right after they asked that, you know, he had them do that intention, he got a kind of a brainwave himself to see a Chinese herbalist. And when he did, the Chinese herbalist did some tests on him and discovered one of his liver filtration systems wasn't working. And that was causing the depression. And as soon as he fixed that, his depression lifted. Mm. And other people with chronic fatigue overcame that, all kinds of illnesses. Somebody with vitiligo started repigmenting.
Oh my goodness.
You know, that's when you lose pigment in your skin. And then we had people with financial windfalls, just the right amount, just when they needed them. People who had amazing new careers, people who made up with estranged partners or relatives, people who discovered a new life's purpose, all kinds of things. But occasionally we would have someone who didn't have that. Mm. And one of those people, for instance, was Lisa. Lisa was a bodywork practitioner who wanted to write a book, but she had no way of knowing how to write a book. She didn't have any experience. And she'd worked with several editors and they hadn't got her very far. She was also really frightened of the whole marketing concept for the book, you know, how to do that. She was afraid the book was going to get shot down and she'd be humiliated. Mm. So she wasn't getting anywhere. So after a while, and she was working with her group, I finally just said, you know, Lisa, get off of yourself. You know, start intending for someone else. Yeah. So she did. She dropped having the group intend for her and started intending for someone with a real financial issue. And as soon as she did that, the very next week, she gets some sort of impulse. She's in town. She gets an impulse to go into a store. She doesn't even need anything from that store. She just decides to go in. And when she's there, she recognizes somebody that she had vaguely met some years ago. And she goes up to her, they start chatting. And it turns out the person is a book coach, a former publisher. Mm-hmm. And when she hears about what Lisa's doing, she offers to coach her through the whole process. Mm-hmm. Anyway, fast forward, Lisa gets the book finally done. She publishes it and it becomes an Amazon bestseller.
Amazing.
So that whole process of getting off of herself, and that's been repeated time and time and time again with other people in our masterclass groups. As soon as they get off of themselves, miracles start happening.
I'm loving this. And so you've got a video on YouTube about sort of how to get in these, how to sort of set these groups up and what you do in them and stuff. So we can direct people to that. But just while you're on the call, first of all, I think it's really lovely just to have that community and just have a group of people that you're doing this with. So you've got 8 people together. You can do that online, but I'm sure it must be quite nice to do it in person too. Do they take it in turns to intend for each person in the group, or do you do intentions for people outside of the group? What's the sort of, how can somebody do this?
Well, you can do it either way. I mean, mm-hmm. we have people who meet in person, and I have retreats. Mm-hmm. I've got a big retreat coming up in Spain where people, we put them into groups of 8, and that's their group for the whole week, and it mm-hmm. actually becomes their intention family. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'll explain more about that later. I do talks and workshops. I just ran one in Italy where we have people, and they actually meet physically. But we also have many thousands of groups of people who meet virtually. And every year, and it's a year-long course, starting in January, I run a year-long intention masterclass, Power of 8 Intention Masterclass, mm-hmm. where we do this teaching via webinar, and then I put people into groups and send them tips and advice and challenges over the whole year. Mm-hmm. And so people get a chance to meet either way. They yeah. both work equally right. well. There is something amazing and palpable about being together in person, but everybody reports on, as do the people in the intention experiments, feeling this amazing palpable energy, even when they are home connecting with everybody else, like you and I are via mm-hmm. a computer screen. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it works just as well. I mean, people on my intention experiments, back in 2008, I decided to run surveys to see how it was for the people involved. And first survey I did was after our first peace intention experiment. This one was for Sri Lanka, which was going through a civil war at the time. And I asked people what it was like for them, and I got back thousands of answers because we had about 15,000 people involved in that first peace experiment. And they said things like this: I felt like I was part of a higher network. I felt goosebumps going back and down my arms, and I had to cry uncontrollably. I felt like I was in the tractor beam of Star Trek. You know, they felt this incredible, palpable energy. And people report that whether they're part of this giant intention experiment or whether they're just in a little group, virtual group of eight. And remember, so now, for the intention experiments, people are participating individually in front of their computer screen from around the globe, just coming onto my website together. Nevertheless, that energy is happening, that energy, that psychic internet is being formed.
I love that. That was going to be one of my questions for understanding. So the way that we do this is everyone at a time, either in person or virtually, is there together, focused together. And then everybody has, say, a line, like an intention, like a mantra, for example, and then you just sit there and repeat that to yourself and you send that out. Is that how it is?
I have the group decide on an intention together.
Nice.
And so it's our intention is. So the whole key here is for everybody to be thinking the same thought at the same time. Mm. So it's not like one person's thought and everybody's thinking things individually. It's a communal thought. Everybody's thinking together. So the nuts and bolts, there's a lot more to it than what I'm just about to describe, but the nuts and bolts are essentially to come up with that intention statement together. Our intention is to be very, very specific. You know, if you want to heal the big toe of Jane Doe's right foot, you make that the intention. Our intention is to heal the big toe, the largest toe of Jane Doe's right foot, and for her to be healthy and well in every way. Or our intention is that John Doe received $2,563 in order to pay his overdraft of his bank or something like that. You know, mm-hmm. It has to be very, very specific. And it's nice to have a time frame of it too. Mm-hmm. You imagine that person achieving that effect. You all imagine you're holding hands. You all visualize that person with all of your senses achieving that result. You bring the intention down to your heart, you send it out. And you start off essentially, you know, maybe breathing together, just getting in sync together before you start it. And the recipient just has to open up their heart to receive. You can do it for someone in the group. You can do it for someone outside of the group, as long as they have your permission, unless they're a baby or in a coma and they can't give permission. Or they're, you know, have Alzheimer's or something like that.
Why is that? Why is that so important?
In permission?
Somebody might not want.
Well,
yeah.
I think, you know, somebody has the right to say, I want this for myself or I don't. Mm-hmm. It's not your right to decide on what if maybe somebody doesn't want to live anymore.
Right.
You know, it's not your right to make that decision for them.
No, that's fair. And it's a great point to bring up. What if it's for a sort of a war-torn country or just sort of healing for sort of warring factions and things like that? That's okay.
That's a bigger issue. We're just saying, you know, we want to lower violence. And I think everybody would agree with that. Yeah, it's when it's individual.
That makes sense.
You need to seek permission, in my view.
No, I think that's a smart.
And, you know, we do this outside of the group too. Every Sunday, my whole community does an intention for the week for three deserving people. We get so many applicants asking to be nominated, and they're usually people with serious illnesses. And the whole community comes on at the exact same time and sends this intention for these people. We've had some amazing turnarounds in illnesses. I mean, we had a little girl who was born fine, but then she developed some really serious problems with her heart and had to be on a pump. And the doctors really did not know what the problem was. And we all sent intention to her, and she then ended up going to another doctor who said, well, there's no more problems. You can come off of this pump now.
Wow.
So that was really amazing. Just one example of just many, many, and even our senders. We had a woman with terrible arthritis, couldn't paint anymore. Her hands were all crippled up. And she kept intending on the Sundays with our intention of the week. And her arthritis disappeared. Again, she wasn't a receiver. She was a sender.
I want to start doing this so badly. Thank you. I'm very excited by this.
Thank you.
Just being with a group and just connecting and just putting my attention back onto others. This is a fantastic way of doing that. And then being accountable as well, because you're doing it with other people. And it's just that, it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Thank you. And that accountability, Ione, is such a smart thing to observe, because a lot of people say, I made a vow to my group. And so that spurns a lot of follow through. You know, that means, well, you've got to tell the group what you did that week to help this whole intention along. And that really helped a number of people. I'm thinking of a woman called Patty Rutledge, who had chronic fatigue. She was in one of my master classes. And her big breakthrough was she asked her group to find the source of her chronic fatigue. I mean, she couldn't walk for more than 5 minutes without having to lie down all afternoon. It was terrible. She had no energy. And when after they did their intention, she discovered, she made the discovery that there was black mold behind her dressing room, and that she herself had really high levels of black mold. And as soon as they cleared out the dressing room and she cleared out herself, her chronic fatigue disappeared. She's now hiking and lifting weights.
Wow. It's just incredible. You have an event, a retreat in Spain coming up. Now I'm curious tell me about this. What will people be doing at that retreat? Is this a way of sort of learning? Is the foundation of it this intention work?
Yeah, the foundation is intention boot camp. But in a retreat setting, we can go much further. First of all, we're holding it. It's really incredible. We're holding it in two Spanish monasteries, former Spanish monasteries that are now luxury hotels. Really wow. Beautiful. And it starts September 30th and it runs to October 8th. And one of the monasteries has these incredible thermal waters. So they're healing waters too. And we're going to be in the Rioja district of Spain. So we'll be able to try fine wines. We're even going to try to make wine, you know, jumping on grapes and all of that will be one of the fun things we do when we're not working together. So part of every day is a session with me, and we'll be working on all of the things about intention. This will be a really more advanced class. All the reasons your intentions don't come true. Huh. You know, because a lot of people will try this work, they'll try manifestation, they'll try all of this law of attraction, and it doesn't work for them, and they don't know why.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, the reason is their past. Their past kind of lives through them, almost like an unwanted guest. And for this retreat, I'm going to be joined by my husband, Brian Hubbard, who is the author of a book called The Untrue Story of You, and a whole system he created that he calls Time Light. And it's a model of freeing yourself from the past, which is the big self that lives through us. And as I say, is like an unwanted guest and forms the self that we present to the world so many times.
And just so that I can get a better understanding of what you mean by that, I interviewed Dr. Bruce Lipton recently. Would you also say that it's similar to our sort of subconscious beliefs, our subconscious programming? Would you say that, is that what you mean, or is it something different?
It's a little bit different. I mean, subconscious programming means we're not conscious of it. This is really conscious programming that we just don't realize that we are continuing to broadcast out to the world. Let me give you an example. Let's say you were 7 years old, you were in class and your teacher humiliated you. You got the lowest score in arithmetic. You were 7 or 8 and she humiliated you and you felt terrible. And she even had a list on the board of what people's scores were. And there you were right down at the bottom. And so you formed this belief, idea about yourself that you're no good at math. Mm-hmm. And that idea persisted even to your adulthood. And it meant that you shied away from doing anything in math. I mean, there was a real example of this with a guy called Sam Keen, who is a philosopher in America. He was, as a child, he tried to help his mother with something mechanical and he was useless at it. And so she said, "You're useless at this." Mm-hmm. And that formed the idea in his head that he was not mechanical. So he never tried to do that, and he ended up becoming a philosopher, a very fine philosopher. But when he took a test as an adult, he discovered that his mechanical ability was actually in the genius stage, in the genius level. Now, imagine all of the inventions that we would have had in the world if Sam Keen had been not told by his mom that he was not good at mechanical things, and all of the engineering discoveries he might have made if he had pursued that and not had that thought. So it's that conscious programming that actually invents the person you become. Right. And so what we do, one of the techniques I use in these kinds of retreats is retro-intention techniques. We don't change what that person experienced, we change their response to it. And it really goes forward. It has extraordinary power in helping people go forward. So we do that. We show people how to protect themselves from their own negative thinking, how to stop broadcasting the kind of lack and scarcity they do all the time, their sense of failure. One of the things people don't understand about intention is that it's a constant broadcast. We think, oh, the universe, you know, we do an intention with our morning meditation, and that's the only thing the universe hears. But the universe hears everything. You know, the new science that I discovered with the field demonstrates that, you know, thoughts are trespassers. They beam out of us at every moment, and they affect other people and things. And if we are broadcasting all the time our negative thinking about ourselves, about other people, you know, a friend of mine once said, you know, if we actually said aloud to other people all the things we think about ourselves, we wouldn't have any friends. And I think that's a really good point, because that's what we're thinking. That's what we're broadcasting all the time. And so we help people to change and redesign their own thinking about themselves, but also redesign their future. So that's where you can do this in an intensive retreat setting. But we're also going to have a lot of fun. We're going to learn how to do flamenco dancing. We're going to visit a couple of beautiful cities, and it'll just be a blissful week in that healing space. The other reason I wanted to do something in a former monastery, is that there's a lot of scientific evidence showing that sacred spaces, former sacred spaces, have a resonance effect, which actually aids intention. And we saw this with our last retreat, which we held in Tuscany, when we did Power of Eight groups in the tomb of St. Francis of Assisi. There's a basement room where his tomb is, and we did them there as a little chapel type of space. And the extraordinary energy you could feel there and in some ancient churches that we visited, where we did it as well, was just amazing.
It makes sense, because you just imagine that you've got everybody, there's people there for centuries, I'm sure, praying and sending out those intentions. So it would make sense that there's like a field of energy that resonates there.
Absolutely.
Oh, this is cool. Firstly, thank you for kindly offering to, you've got some giveaway stuff on your website that we're going to direct our listeners to. So one of them is a 25-minute audio from the Little Known Secrets of All Intention Masters. So that sounds cool. I'm sure some of them you may have told us about today. Are they all new ones?
Well, just about being specific, but there's much more detail in that download. Absolutely.
Perfect. And then there's also a 30-page download of the most vital intention techniques. So that if you really enjoyed this conversation, it will be a great way to sort of consolidate everything that we've been speaking about today, and I'm sure give you a lot more information. So that is at www.lynnmctaggart.com. And then you can just sign up and get that immediately. So That is fantastic. Lastly, just to finish up with, you were saying that you've got a new intention experiment that you're going to be working on soon. Tell us about that. I'm curious. Oh, and I have to tell you, I'm all over the place. I get so excited with these things. Before we got on the call, Lynn was saying this new intention experiment is to bring Republicans and Democrats together. And I have to tell you about an organization that some friends of mine work for called Better Angels. And that's their job too, they run workshops where they bring together Republicans and Democrats, not to change their opinions or insert their opinion on other people, but just to get them having conversations and get them connecting again over the things that they want. Because at the end of the day, we all want happiness and security, and we all want love. And it's just this whole divisiveness in the States is getting out of hand. So I'm excited to hear this. And I feel like I want to connect you guys with Better Angels, because that's everything they're doing. And they've got a database of hundreds of, not, I don't know about hundreds of thousands of people, but tens of thousands of people.
I would love them to be part of this, because here's what sparked it, Ione. Last year, I ran a peace intention experiment for Jerusalem, and I ran it in a special studio run by a guy who's like the Deepak Chopra of the Middle East. He's hosted me in many events in the Middle East, like other people host me in different parts of the world. And so this special studio had the ability for cameras to go into many different locations. So he had cameras placed in conference rooms in 8 different Arab cities. The 9th camera, we had talked to an Israeli documentary maker, and we put the 9th camera in an auditorium filled with Israeli Jews. So we had Arabs and Jews on this call together. And I ran it also via my YouTube channel live. So we did an intention for Jerusalem, because everybody has a stake in Jerusalem, and there's been a lot of violence there. And it was incredible. We looked at the studies later, and it looked like we did seem to lower violence there. But more interesting was what happened right after the intention experiment. They could see me on the screen, but I could also see them, and they could see each other. When I could call on the different audiences. So what happened afterwards is the Arabs started saying to the Israelis, your God is my God. The Israelis started crying and saying, we love you, sister. There were tears, there were exchanges of love and connectedness. And, you know, it was, the heart was leaping across the fence. So I started thinking about this being a mechanism for these intention experiments for overcoming polarization. So I want to do the same thing where we hook up cameras in different areas that are filled with Republicans and Democrats and bring them together for a common intention. You know, lowering violence in an area of violence in America, we can all agree to that. I mean, one of our intentions was, big intention experiments, was to lower violence in the most violent place in America, which is northern St. Louis, Missouri. And we had an effect, it looks like, looking at the data, and scientists studied this data and reported on it. There was a lowering of just the area we were focusing on. A lowering of 43%, whereas violence every other part of St. Louis went up. So it was really quite amazing. But what I'd really like to see is the rebound effect happening with the participants. That's the real purpose of it.
I will certainly be connecting you with John and Kieran at Better Angels, because they, I think, would love to hear about this and be involved. They've got access to that very audience. Lynn, this has been such a fantastic, I love doing this because I get so blown away. I'm always learning something by everyone that I meet. I want to start doing sort of intention groups with the Uplifting Content community too, because I was doing lots of Facebook Live one-on-ones with them, and have sort of not been doing that as much, but I think this is a great way to bring people together to work on things and just sort of send love out there and intention. So thank you for sharing what you do and what you do, and introducing me to this brilliance. I'm very excited.
Thank you so much. Well, people can learn more about how to do all of the groups. It's completely covered in my book, The Power of 8. There's more to putting the groups together, but the great thing about it is it's a fairly simple technique. There's some things to know about it. There's some science to know and some special things with the techniques. But, you know, it's a very powerful, powerful way to connect and to use your intention and to have an intention family that you can lean on.
Yeah. I think that's very important for a lot of people that are going through stuff, just knowing that there's just community, having your little family.
Exactly. Exactly.
We will have links to Lynn's website. Like I said, be sure to sign up for the free audio and the 30-page download. The book, The Power of Eight, is a great way of learning how to do these things. And you can find out all about her retreat and everything that she's got going on through her website, which we'll have in the show notes. So thank you so much for listening or watching, however you're getting this. And I will see you all soon.
Thanks so much. Thanks. Thank you, everybody. Okay, we're out.
Oh, great. Perfect. I was like, I don't know if I wanted to hang up or what do I do?
Exactly. It's kind of hard to know what to do.
I was about to hang up and I was like, no, but I want to say something to you afterwards.
So thank you. That was great.
Thank you. I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I'd love to know about Better Angels. That'd be great.
Yes. I'll send you that email introduction now. And one of the things I wanted to touch on, I didn't want to do it on the call because I thought it might kind of complicate things. It would lead to a whole other conversation. But could negative intentions, people using this for harm, is that a thing? Is that something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of study about it. I really covered this, a whole chapter of it in my book, The Intention Experiment. And, you know, we all like to think that that positive intention works better than negative intention, but it's not true. Negative intention can work just as well. There are ways to protect yourself. And that's one of the things I teach in my workshops, in my retreats. There's some really good techniques to protect yourself. And, you know, a lot of the time negativity is coming from us. You know, we're the ones beaming out negativity. You know, Shakespeare even said, you know, there's nothing good and bad in the world, but thinking makes it so. You know, we color a judgment. We color an event with a judgment, and that becomes negative, and it becomes what we're broadcasting. So, but yeah, in terms of somebody wanting to do harm, the only thing is you have to be pretty focused. As I said, there were a lot of techniques that I talk about in The Power of Eight for being a good intender. And elsewhere, and I teach in the workshops and things. And one of those is a very highly focused mind. And luckily, people who are, if you're not Hitler, anybody other than Hitler or people like that tend to, if they're negative, they tend to have a pretty diffused mind. Mm-hmm. So that does save us. Mm-hmm. But there are ways to protect yourself from negativity and as a group to protect yourselves from negativity too.
Right. I'll definitely be doing more research into this. So thanks again. I really love this chat. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. That's been great. And I must look up your stuff more. I love the idea of uplifting content. I mean, God, don't we need it?
Right. I'm actually working on a book at the minute called Uplifting Stories, which is a collection of, it's like a modern day Chicken Soup for the Soul, but slightly more meatier story. So I've gone out and found the guests, I interview them, and it's from those interviews that the stories are written up, and the book's split six chapters. So the whole theory behind uplifting content, the platform, is that, like, you know, we're so subjected to negative media all the time, giving us this idea that the world is terrible and people are awful. And I'm not saying that these bad things don't happen, but we need to also pay attention to the remarkable, incredible things that are going on and just put them into perspective, you know?
Absolutely. And that's the sad thing. They never get reported on. I mean, half the time when you hear about a disaster, we hear about the disaster and the horrible things. We don't hear about the people who ran into the burning building to drag people out.
Exactly. I talk about this all the time.
I've written other blogs about that. I remember when Hurricane Sandy happened. Mm-hmm. There were amazing stories of generosity, heroism. Mm-hmm. Whenever there is a blackout or something like that, people are, you know, are incredible.
That's humanity. Yeah. I was talking about the shooting in Vegas and stuff, and like a man that like jumped over his friend's girlfriend to save her, and he died, but he was trying to save her. Like all the doctors, all the people that gave blood, all the people that donated. Yes. You know, we just hear about one mentally insane person that carries out these heinous acts, and then we forget about the millions, hundreds of thousands that do remarkable things. And so I think it's just important to sort of pay attention to that equally, if not more than just the horrible
Absolutely.
I think our work is very much aligned.
I know. I love that. I will look forward to seeing your book.
Thank you. Cool. Well, I'm going to just jump off the call. I'm going to ask if Laura can send me the recording of it. And I'm going to send you an introduction to John and Kira now before I forget, because this is going to be great. Excellent.
Glad it worked out. And
me too.
We had a momentary panic there with the time difference. But
I know. It's very confusing. It's twice a year it happens. Our clocks change at different times. So it just gets really confusing if we've tried to mentally figure it out and then we've set the invite up like that. Luckily we didn't miss it. It happened earlier.
I know. Yeah. That would have been horrible.
I would have woken up and just been like, oh wait, what happened?
Oh no. It was good. Oh. It was good.
Excellent.
Great. We'll make sure you get the recording.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifting Content Podcast with me, Ione Butler. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review so that more people can find it. And to make sure you never miss a beat, subscribe to our weekly dose of uplifting content, which is an email from me about the best of uplifting content from that week, be it giveaways, videos, interviews, all the good stuff. And as a bonus, when you subscribe, you'll get 100 of our inspirational memes to share on your social media. The sign-up link is in the show notes. See you next time.